The smoke has finally cleared. The enemy is gone now. And rest is finally near. But lying all around us are the wounded of this war. Some hurt worse than others, but all are tired and sore. And as our blood mixes with tears, we know we just can't leave them lying here. It's gonna take a little time, but they're wounds we have to bind. Don't kill the wounded with the careless things you say. You don't know what has happened, what has hurt them this way. And please don't leave them alone, thinking they'll be just fine on their own. Restore them, uphold them, take care of their needs, and always bring the wounded soldier home. Have you ever been the one? Do you remember lying there, so wounded by the enemy? In this spiritual warfare, and the friends that you thought really care just walked away, believing it's all over. I guess she's seen her better days. Your hopes turn to haze, lifetime dreams just seem to fade away. You wonder why your friends can't see. It's just a wound, and wounds heal, don't they? Don't kill the wounded with the careless things you say. You don't know what has happened, what has hurt them this way. Don't leave them alone, thinking they'll do just fine on their own. Restore them, uphold them, take care of their needs. Restore them, uphold them, take care of their needs. Always bring the wounded soldier home. 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 And they don't know that I go running home when I fall down. They don't know, Lord, you pick me up when no one is around. Drop my sword and cry for just a while. Cause deep inside this armor, the warrior is a child. Lately I've been winning battles left and right, but even soldiers, they get wounded in the fight. People say that I'm amazing, strong beyond my years, but they don't see inside of me. I'm hiding all my tears, and they don't know that I go running home when I fall down. They don't know who picks me up when no one is around. Drop my sword and look up for a smile, cause deep inside this armor, yeah, deep inside this armor, deep inside this armor, this wounded soldier is just a child. But lately I've been winning battles left and right. I'm so thankful for victory. The Lord, for several years, and we first started pastoring, oh man, the enemy came with me in every shape and form, and I mean, he was slicing and dicing. I probably came closer to losing out with God in my entire life, the first, I'd say, 3 years of being a pastor's wife. And that's why my heart is for the parsonage women, the pastor's daughters, the pastor's wives. I love all of y'all. I love you. And I know that God uses you, because during that time when I thought that everybody hated me, including my husband, God used a little lady in our church. We pastored military area, so she got orders. She got shipped off to Panama, and she kept up with everybody there, and she kept sending me cards. And she would send me these cards telling me how awesome I was and how anointed I was. And at the same time, I'm like, you know, filleted. I'm like totally in defeat. And she just kept encouraging me and encouraging me and encouraging me. She had no idea what I was going through. And she would always, she would at the end of her note, she would say, "I want to be just like you when I grow up." And she was older than me, but it was just like a, God just put her there to encourage me and to lift me up. And I remember the day that I told y'all about it last night, where I stood there in the mirror and I was like, why don't I have daughters? And God told me that he had given me a whole church full of them. And that's when the pastor's wife heart was born. I was like, they're mine. They're my girls. They're my girls. And I just started loving them so much. And I'm feeling like it's worth it. You know, I love these girls. And I tasted victory, like, for the first time in a long time. And so I wrote this song, and I wrote it to her, and she knows this is our song. Then she's, God blessed her. They retired from military, and guess where they moved? Back to Spring Lake. And she still is like my number one fan. And we have a little friendship ball, and I don't know if you know what that is. You can get them at Hallmark. They're like a little silver ball, and you can open it and put a gift in it. And it's very small. Sister Carney, I think that was in that bag that I gave the ladies, that blue ribbon book and that little friendship ball. Well, I gave her one, and I put a little something in it. So every now and then, I'll get to church, and they'll be sitting there on my pew, and I'll open it. And sometimes it's a Tootsie Roll inside, you know, but a note saying, "You're the bomb." And now we've put a little notebook in there, and we're on our second notebook, and it's just a little notebook you can buy for a dollar, you know. And we'll write a little note about what's going on in our life or whatever, or encouraging each other. So this song, when I sing this song, I know you're going to think of somebody. You're going to be like, that is my sister so-and-so. And if you feel like during the song, if you feel like just getting up and going, and she's, if she's here, if you feel like going and giving her a hug and crying together, just feel free to do that, because this song is a girlfriend song. It's a girlfriend song, okay? If I can remember how to play it. Yesterday, I thought I wouldn't make it. Surely this had been my hardest trial. I discovered feelings deep inside of me that I believed were far from me somehow. But then I found you walking right beside me, and you said you knew exactly what I was going through. You took my hand and gave me some of your strength, and victorious together we now stand. It just ain't easy as it used to be. It seems like the devil keeps fighting harder every day. He just wants to snatch another child out of the kingdom. But see, old Satan knows one day soon he's gonna pay. And I know there's been a few times he thought he had us. Oh, but my Jesus, you know he always made a way. And I can't wait until this war is over. Woo! Victorious together, we will say, we'll say we won. We won again. Yeah, we made it through to victory. We won again, didn't we? We endured the We made it through to victory. We won again. Hallelujah. Didn't we? We endured the pain. I'm so glad we kept the faith. And because of you, now I can say we won again. We won again. Yeah, we won again. We won again. And lately we've been winning battles left and right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God is so genius to put the church together, to put a body of believers together so that we can love each other and help each other and make it. We're the body of Christ. Have you ever just felt like, I wish that God, I could just put my arms around Jesus and just hug him? Well, turn around and give your sister a hug. That's the body of Christ. There's the body. If you want to hug Jesus, give your sister a hug. The body of Christ is sitting right on the pew beside you. Yes, it is. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, God is so good. And the devil's so dumb. He thinks he thinks he's going to get us down and gives us a problem and a trial. And it makes us run home to Jesus. And we get more strength and we come back more powerful than we were before. Isn't that amazing? Hey, it's a girlfriend thing, girls. And now I got a little encouragement for you this morning. You fixing to go back home? You fixing to face the devil head on? He's madder and a wet hen because y'all done come up here and got you some strength. But when you're riding home, let me tell you something. Don't let the devil ride. Hey, I said don't let the devil ride. If you let him ride, he'll want to drive. Don't let him ride. Don't let the devil ride. Yeah, don't let the devil ride. If you let him ride, he'll want to drive. Don't let him ride. Now all those Alaskan mornings when you're snowed in, can't go nowhere. Oh, no, don't. Don't let him visit you. Don't let him visit you. If he visits you, he'll want to move in too. Don't let him ride. Everybody sing now. Don't let the devil ride. Don't let the devil ride. Wanna drive, don't let him ride. Now don't let him flag you down. Yeah, he thinks he's got a flat tire now, huh? Don't let him flag you down. If he flags you down, he'll try to turn you around. Don't let him ride. Everybody sing now. Don't let the devil. Don't let the devil ride. If you let him ride, he'll want to drive. Don't let him ride. Okay, where's all the single ladies? Don't. Don't let him flirt with you. No, 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 don't let him flirt with you. If he flirts with you, he'll try to marry you. Don't let him run. Hey, stand up, don't let the devil. If you let him ride, he'll want to drive. Don't let him ride. Okay, look at that girl next to you. Make sure she got it. Don't let the devil ride. Oh, don't let the devil ride. If you let him ride, he'll want to drive. Don't let him ride. I feel victory in this house. I said, don't let the devil ride. Don't let the devil ride. If you let him ride, he'll want to drive. Don't let him ride. Hallelujah. You know, there's one thing the devil has no counteract weapon for, and that's joy. He don't understand it. He can't comprehend it. It's not even a part of his DNA. It is not in his imagination. And when he sees joy and laughter, he runs and hides because he's scared to death, because he knows the joy of the Lord is a strength. It is the most lethal weapon you could imagine against the enemy. So sometimes I have to laugh, because it's like, he's so dumb. He has no idea. When he gets me all riled up, and I'm going to go to Jesus. And I just have to laugh sometimes. Have you ever just had a laughing spirit come on you, and it's like a gut-wrenching laughter? You know, when that's happening, the devil is so blown away. He don't know what to do. There's no weapon that he can, there's nothing he can do with that. Oh, wow, you can be seated. I'm not going to teach this morning. I'm just going to tell you what God has taught me. I tend to be a little scatterbrained sometimes. So before I go any further, I just want to say thank you. From the moment I got off the plane, had us a hotel. We got in like around 12:30. They had us a hotel in Anchorage. Got to sleep in. Then Sister Kim came and picked us up and took us on this beautiful tour of Alaska until we got to the cabin. The cabin blew my mind. It was amazing. Sister Abbott is like, God just, he's been blowing my mind ever since we got here. And even down to the water that I wanted to drink is here. I'm on this, you know, I'm this health thing, and I'm trying to keep my pH high, so cancer can't live in a body that's not acidic. So, you know, I keep my pH up there, so I'm alkaline. And I just put on Facebook, anybody has a Kangen water machine? I like 9.5. And I had 9.5 here, 9.5 in the cabin. God just loves me. It's just, y'all have been incredible. Big old basket of all kind of snacks. And, oh, it's just been amazing. And your hospitality speaks so well of your leadership. The district is blessed with great leadership. And I really am, I'm thrilled to be here. It's been a wonderful weekend. And you have blessed me, I know, more than I have blessed you. I really want you to know that I'm blessed. I'm honored to be here. I can't wait to come back and get to go to, like, different churches and see all of y'all again. And if you're ever in North Carolina, or if we're at General Conference and you want to buy me a coffee, I like a Brave Latte. And we'll sit down and chat. Yes, ma'am. This is going to be wonderful. I'm so excited about our friendship that we've made here. And thank you, Sister Churchill, Sister AG, Sister
Parish for having me here, for inviting me, Sister Carnley, for what I am so, I'm blown away by the honor that you're receiving. This is a big deal, y'all. This is a big deal. And if any of you could make it a general conference to see that, it's going to be amazing. I know you girls are just, are you just not blown away? Isn't that just the best thing to see your mom? And that is so awesome. I'm that internalized thing, everything. I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't imagine how those kids feel. Because when somebody honors my mom and dad, it just, because they sacrifice so much, the Carnleys too, the sacrifice they made. And the thing of it is, they made it look like it was easy as pie, like it was no sacrifice at all. And that's just, they just don't make them like that anymore. You know, we like to whine and put on Facebook. But these pioneers are made of some good stuff. And I'm so glad y'all are honoring them. And amazing. 50 years in Sterling, that church. That's just amazing. And you know, this year is the year that we're celebrating 100 years of apostolic doctrine in North America. So what a year to honor Sister Carnley. Oh, wow. It's amazing. Y'all have been just wonderful. Every kind word, I mean, sometimes it you don't understand how much it means when somebody speaks and you come to them and tell them what that meant. Just that meant, that little brief paragraph that you say, it validates and makes you feel like, oh, maybe I wasn't off target, you know. But as y'all know, I have three sons, and God has taught me so many life lessons through raising kids, you know, just through... when we first moved to Spring Lake, my dad was the pastor, and his health failed, and he needed help. So we moved up there, and we had two sons then. Brock was three, and Court was one. So it was really a cool package deal that we got to go there and be the assistant pastor. We had our a house. You know, we didn't have to pay rent, but the house was like, like a three-bedroom house, and so the living room and one bedroom was actually a thrift shop for the church. So the living room and the front bedroom was the thrift shop, and then there was two bedrooms, and there was like a dining room that we used for a living room, and then there was a little, we ate in the kitchen, even though it wasn't an eat-in kitchen. It was just, so we had those little rooms back there, and we shared that house with the thrift shop and a tribe of mice. So, yeah, these mice were not afraid of people. We would have, you know, be having family devotion, and they would be having family devotion. And you would, like, stomp your foot, and they'd, like, hello, we're trying to have church here. They were not afraid. And they were like acrobats. They could get places, like, I found rat droppings in the stove, in the oven, on top of the refrigerator. I would be cleaning, I'd be like, oh, and I told my husband so many times, like, when I find a mouse dropping on the bed, I'm leaving. I'm moving away, far away. And it just was always in my brain, what if a mouse got in the bed? And I was just thinking, you know, it's just a matter of time. It's going to happen. They live here with us. You know, they have duplex condos in the wall. And so it was always on my mind. So sure enough, at that time my husband worked still in the city we had moved from, which was an hour away. So when he left in the mornings, it was still dark outside. And so one morning he was leaving, and, you know, I wasn't one of those wives that got up and fixed biscuits and gravy before he went to work. I figured, you know, he could get a McDonald's on the way. So I'm laying there, and he, you know, kissed me goodbye. And he said, I'll see you this evening. I was like, okay, babe, bye. And right when he started to walk out of the room, I felt this little hairy brush on my leg. Just, and I was like, ah! I jumped out of the bed. I'm like, there's a mouse in the bed. Oh, my God, there's a mouse in the bed. I'm screaming, and he flips on the light. He's like, what? And I'm like, there's a mouse, there's a mouse, there's a mouse. So he throws back the covers, and it wasn't a mouse. It was Court, who was one and a half, like, maybe he was three. I can't remember. He was old enough to talk. And he was petrified. And he was just like, ah! And my husband, of course, you got to know him. He's like, Wanda, you've scared that baby to death. I was like, I thought it was a mouse. And so I'm in the bed. He's like, I can't believe you. So he takes off to work, you know. And I'm in the bed. I'm just shaking. And so I'm patting Court. I'm rocking him. I'm saying, it's okay, baby. It's okay. Mommy's sorry. And he's just crying. You know, so finally he gets calmed down and he looks at me, his big old brown eyes, you know, tears running down his cheeks. And I was like, Mommy's so sorry, baby. Mommy thought you was a mouse. And he looked at me and says, I thought you was a lion. And in that moment, I realized that the devil will take something that we love, twist it around, and make it seem like it's something it's not. And there may be some things going on in your life right now, and you think it's a mouse, you know? And maybe your husband thinks it's a lion or whatever, but the devil's lying to everybody in the family. It's not what it appears to be. Just take a deep breath, calm down, and let's see what God's got coming. He's got it in control. Everything's going to be okay. So I've learned through the years that, you know, just calm down. Everything, you know, it's not as it appears. It's never as bad as it seems. And it's usually never as good as it seems either. So just calm down. Just take a breath. Balance. Yeah, that's a good word. So as the boys got older, I was real concerned about them, you know, getting married. So I prayed from the early that, you know, I prayed for their wives every morning, you know, and as they got older, they would just giggle. Because I would go, God, you know, I pray for Brock's wife this morning, wherever she's at. She's getting ready for school just like Brock is, Lord. And I pray that you keep her pure, keep her safe, keep her mind, you know. And Lord, I pray for Court's wife. I'm not getting married. Pray for Court's wife, God. I help her not to be rebellious, Lord. So I'd pray for their wives, and they would just laugh, and, you know, they thought it was so funny. But, you know, now I prayed, and they have wonderful wives, and Kyle's getting ready to marry a wonderful girl, and it's so amazing. I think back now, in fact, when I turned 50, Brock, for the whole week of my 50th birthday, he wrote me a letter every day and emailed it to me. And I would sit there and just bawl my head off. Well, one morning he wrote me this letter, and it was saying, he remembered those mornings because I homeschooled him, but for a couple years, they went to public school from Brock was kindergarten to fifth grade. And I was like, middle school, no, I'm homeschooling my children because I had subbed in the middle school. I was like, So I would pray over them. Pray over them children. I mean, I would rebuke every demon out of them, and I just, and sometimes I did it, you know, thinking back, I'd be like, if they said a bad word or they said something, I'd take them in the bedroom and think, oh God, please don't let Court burn in hell, Jesus, forgive him for saying that to me, he knows not what he doeth, and I would speak in tongues and pray over him, and they're sitting there like, man. So Brock wrote me this letter. He said he remembers me praying in the mornings. And I'd pray, you know, God, just keep the enemy from coming in like a flood and ripping their minds out and putting in his evil. And so, I mean, I'm very graphic. So he said he remembers standing out waiting for the bus. He said, I would be so afraid to go to school. He said, now that I look back, it was probably, the prayer was like so scary and so graphic. I was like, I'm going into the den of demons. And he said, but Mom, thanks for praying, you know, because, but I look back, I'm thinking, man, I probably, you know, messed them up for life. Those prayers I'd pray, so graphic and everything. So, but I was really concerned about, because, I mean, we never made it through a meal without somebody, you know, having a body function. Let's just put it that way. It was gross. Just, you know, and so they were just boys. And my husband's like, just, you know, he's like, you need to have about seven. I have 17 girlfriends. You need to have all the girls you can have. He wasn't raised in the church. He did nothing about purity and all that. And I'm like, no, they cannot have girlfriends, you know. So we had this little deal. I was worried about how they was going to treat a woman because, you know, my husband, he's like the, me Indian, you squaw, go to your room now. So, there wasn't a lot of that, you know, pizzazz and finesse and teaching going on. So I'm like, I'm going to teach these boys how to treat a woman. Now, my husband, he never would let me take out the garbage or do any of that kind of stuff. But, you know, the housework was yours. So I'm like, no, they're going to learn how to iron. As soon as I was tall enough, you know, the ironing board is adjustable. That's why it's adjustable, so short people can iron, you know. Little people can iron. As soon as they know the iron is hot, you better once, put some aloe vera on it, you know. They good. So they ironed and they vacuumed and all that kind of stuff. But I was so worried about their how they're going to treat women. So I decided when they was just little guys, when it was their birthday, I would pick them up from school at lunch, get them out of school half a day, and they would take me out to eat. And they had to open my door. They had to order for me the whole nine yards. They got to pick the restaurant and everything. So it was a big birthday date that we had. No, they didn't drive. I drove. But I would sit in the car, and they had to get out and come around, open my door for me, help me out, and walk me in the door. So Court was 13. It was his 13th birthday. And he chose this new restaurant in town, in Fayetteville. And it was called Rockola Cafe, which, you know, kind of scared me a little bit, the Rockola part. And then it was one back when, you know, it was first starting to have the bars in the restaurant. But I was like, well, we'll check it out and see. I don't know if it's going to be okay or not. So we get there, this beautiful restaurant, all wood floors. And the bar was kind of over to a different side. So we walked in, and the lady come up, and she looks at me. She's going to help you. And Court says, we need a table for two in a kind of a private area. So she's like, okay, yes, sir, you know. And I looked around, and everybody in there was young, you know, young and skinny. And everybody just, it's like that sportsy crowd, you know. I'm thinking, okay, here I am, frumpy woman, you know, with the 13-year-old son. So I'm going to try to, you know, act finesse, and I'll act, you know, like I know what I'm doing. So she's like, just follow me. And she's got this little short skirt on. She's prissing down through the restaurant, and I'm thinking, Lord, just do not let my son, you know, see this, all these legs hanging out. So she goes down, then she steps up into this other area at the end, giving us her private area. So when she steps up to this area, Court steps up to that. How they missed the dustpan, I don't know. But when I stepped up, there was an attack dustpan sitting right there. It was on one of them on a stick, you know. And at that time, I weighed around 300 and some pounds. So when I stepped up there, my foot sunk into the dustpan, and the dustpan kind of welded around my foot and just kind of took off rolling. It had wheels on it. And so I grabbed the pole, the little stick thing, and like this knee was like under my chin, and this leg was coming behind me way back there. And I am just shooting across this wood floor, just flying. And I'm just holding on for dear life, and I'm just going, woo! And Court and the waitress, they just watched me go by. And all the people in the lunchroom, the restaurant, they're just like, a woman just went by on a dustpan. And thank God there was a brick wall at the end of that aisle, because I probably would still be on that dustpan right now, because it won't let go, and it had no brakes. I checked that out already. Oh my Lord. So I got up, and I'm like, I planned that, you know, that was planned. Got my foot out of the dustpan, and she said, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm good. So they set us down, and it was like everybody that worked there kept, are you okay? Are you the lady that, yeah, I rode the dustpan. I got a free meal and everything. And my leg was bleeding. I mean, it was my whole knee was just sanded off. It was just blood running down my leg. And I looked at Court. I said, Court, I know you are so embarrassed. He's like, it was kind of cool, really. He said, I wish Brock and Kyle would have seen it. And I'm looking at him like, are you serious? He's like, Mom, seriously, I don't know how you did that. That was amazing. And so I got to thinking about it, and I was like, you know, I wish I had known I was going to ride that dustpan. Because I could have wore a hat, you know. I could have had a whistle or something. And like really made a big, you know, to-do and had a party or something. The dustpan lady arrives. And I'm sure there are people that was eating there that day that still, when they drive by that restaurant, they're like, you'll never believe what I saw in that restaurant. I'll never forget it. I was eating lunch one day and this woman just rode in on a dustpan. It was hilarious. But really, sometimes when you come to places like this, you really don't know what's going to happen. You know, you don't know that. And people come to church and they get there and they're like, oh, these people are crazy. I heard that they was crazy, but... And see, some of y'all, you try and act reserved. You know, you've been coming a little bit. You're like, I'm not one of them yet. I'm just with her. I'm not one of them. And your friends drove by and saw your car in the parking lot. You already marked. They think you one of us. So you might as well just give it up. Go ahead and be crazy. Go ahead and worship the Lord with all you got. Give him all you got. Because you done been marked. They think you're crazy. They think you're a holy roller. You're done. Your reputation is ruined in the neighborhood. Nobody will believe you if you say you were just visiting. They saw your car. So I really have had a blast here this weekend, and I'm excited to see what Sister Sanders has for us this morning to wrap this whole thing up. It's so cool the way God works. I mean, she's from Hawaii. I'm from the East Coast in North Carolina. And we haven't, you know, collaborated or anything or tried to figure out who's going to do what. And, you know, we both knew it was passion for purpose, and we tried to, like, figure out something that would go along with that. And probably, you know, she knew she was doing passion for purity. And so it's so amazing how God just puts it all together. And each one of you from wherever you are have hopefully got something that's going to help you on your journey, help you to be strong, and that you could lend a hand to somebody else. And just remember that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And when you don't know what else to do, just rear back and laugh. Like one lady said, just laugh till the tears run down your legs. God bless you.